Good morning. We're glad that each one of you are here today and appreciate your attendance. And it is a beautiful day that God has blessed us with. As has been mentioned in the announcements, our elders are beginning some evangelistic ideas. And so that's going to be started off with two sermons today. And there will be, Lord willing, more to come and talking about evangelism. And so I'm going to do a two-part series today. If you have your bulletin, I encourage you to open it up. And if you'd like to follow along, the notes are inside the bulletin. Also, we will begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So before we go to our lesson and our reading this morning, let's go to God in prayer. God, we're so grateful that we have the avenue of prayer to come to you and be able to ask these things in your presence. We thank you for the time together to worship you in spirit and truth, the fellowship we have as we've come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we just pray that you bless our time together. And Father, as we think about the importance and how essential it is to be evangelistic, we pray that we will consider these teachings from your word, that we will apply them, and that you give us wisdom as a congregation and give our elders wisdom as they plan and try to initiate things that will encourage us as a whole to be able to be evangelistic. Father, we know that we are dealing in a very difficult time, and Father, we just pray that you help us to find those who are receptive to your message and be able to teach them the ways of truth and righteousness. Father, we just thank you for your son Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. A young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented, "I guess it just proves you can't lead a horse to water and you can't make him drink." The manager replied, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty." Well, maybe you've heard that story before, but it is very applicable to what we're planning to do today in these series of lessons. And it's a reminder of what we're planning to do as we think about the evangelistic efforts that our elders are going to strive to present to the congregation and point the congregation in that way. But when we think of evangelism, it's not just merely a program. Evangelism is about the Christian in all of their life. As we think about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the evangelistic aspect of what we as Christians are to do, it needs to come from within. It needs to be the way we live, the way we act, and the way we treat one another. It's really, as we see throughout the scriptures, a lifestyle. See, the Christian's duty is to make those who we encounter each and every day thirsty for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout the New Testament, we see this instruction, this reminder, this teaching that you and I are to be evangelistic. Share the good news. Share how we have become Christians to those who are not. Paul presents this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 when he's telling young Timothy how that he needs to be conducting himself as a minister. And notice what he says. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And the essence of this verse is really the Great Commission. And Jesus instituted the Great Commission, we see in Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Matthew 28, 20 through 20. And here we see that Jesus commands us to go into all the world. And this command is repeated not only by Paul, but elsewhere through the New Testament as a constant reminder that we are to be about God's business and telling a good news and going in all the world. First of all, as we think about this Great Commission, we need to understand the command. This command is from above. The command to share the good news. Notice again Mark 16 and 15. Jesus commands each of us to go into all the world and proclaim his gospel to the whole creation. Jesus tells his disciples, as well as you and I today, that we are to teach people. I can't say it enough, but keep reminding us that Christianity is a taught religion. The reality is that none will know unless they are taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice the emphasis in Scripture about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul reminds us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, we see the gospel as mentioned as enacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. This is the good news of Scripture, and that he did this on our behalf so that we could have salvation. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we see the teaching of the gospel as a matter of life and death. That one day Jesus is coming back, and as he comes back, he's going to make a separation between those who have obeyed the gospel and those who have not. This is very essential to our faith and salvation and to our matter of living. When we look again in the Great Commission as Jesus records and as recorded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus states the Great Commission in this way, that we are to go and make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and continue to teach them the things he has commanded. And lo, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. Note that in this passage, in the Great Commission, the authority that Jesus has given. He has all authority in heaven and earth. In Ephesians 1 and 22, it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the one who gives us authority. He is the one that gives us identity. He is the one that gives us direction. And it is his words that we must follow. Notice again the command of the Great Commission. It comes from our Lord and Savior to give us direction. But not only is it his command, and he has authority to command such, but it's also Jesus' assignment. Notice when Jesus came to this world that he was assigned. He had an assignment. He had the instructions. He had the purpose in coming to this world to seek and save that which was lost, according to Luke 19 and verse 10. And then it's repeated in Matthew 18, verse 11 through 14, where Jesus himself says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Lost, seeking the lost, soul winning, being evangelistic, looking out for those who have left, are not in the kingdom, and those who have wandered away, to bring them back into the fold is the primary purpose of Jesus coming to this earth. And that purpose, it should be our purpose as well. As we see that this was his assignment, his instructions, it is ours as well. This should be our mission. It should be our purpose. And notice the assurance that Jesus gives us again in Matthew 28 and verse 20. He tells us, instructs us to go. And by going, we see the Greek really reminds us that it's the idea of going as you go into all the world. And we are to basically teach where Jesus is not. Sometimes there's a lot of discussion about where we should go. And really it boils down, we need to go in our homes, and we need to go in our cities, and we go in other nations to preach the gospel. There is no one area that is limited or unlimited to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We are to go wherever Jesus is not. We are to go and present and teach and preach the great news of the coming of Jesus and his salvation as we see through scriptures. Notice how this was done in the book of Acts. In the New Testament, we see in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that when there was a great persecution and the church was scattered, they went about preaching the word. Notice they didn't even allow persecution to allow them to surrender their message. They went from one place to another. And this is exactly what we see in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, and Acts chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. Wherever Christians went, they would teach and make converts and start congregation. And notice, this was as they were going. Yes, it was in their homes and their families. We see examples of that. We see cities and other nations. It was as they were going. So the command of the entire Great Commission is to teach all nations as we are going, wherever we go. Some years ago, there was a story about a young man. His name was Christopher. He was playing basketball with his friends, and in a New York city. And when he was shot while he was playing basketball, he was not that far from the Ravenswood Hospital in New York City. And as he was there, he was taken to the edge of the hospital, but he couldn't get in. His friends, they wouldn't let him in. And finally, some law enforcement came and was able to take him in the hospital. Unfortunately, that he died. And the sad thing about that instance was, this was all within about 2 hours' time. And the hospital people would not come out and rescue him. It took law enforcement to bring him in. I tell you that sad story to remind us that sometimes we think that the only time that people can be rescued with a gospel message is in the church building. And yet what the reality is, as we see in the New Testament, we must be going. Oh yes, sometimes there are those who need the gospel. They come into our assembly, and sometimes they hear the gospel message, and sometimes they obey the gospel message, and praise God for that. But on many cases, many more people are outside our building. We are surrounded with people in our communities, in our jobs, in our stores, in our area. And sometimes we think that that's the only time that they can hear the gospel is at the church building. Notice again what the Bible reminds us, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And wherever we go, we should seek to win others. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus reminds us to go to the highways and the country roads. Tell the people there to come. We need to tell people about the good news of Jesus, wherever they may be, in our families, in our cities, in our nations. We are to go and teach. And number two, there is a cry from beneath. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, we read of the story that Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus. Many of us are familiar with this story. Many are familiar with in the context of what Jesus was teaching. As Jesus was teaching this to, in his audience, there were those Jewish people, and he was really teaching to a crowd and primarily Jewish people. And he was trying to point out that they were really excluding some from following him. But as Jesus tells the story, he tells about the rich man who had everything, and yet there was Lazarus who had nothing. He was a beggar. And as they both died, we see that they were taken into Hades. And then we see that the rich man was taken to torment, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man, seeing that there was no escape and being in great torment, sees Lazarus, and he wants Lazarus to go to his five brothers. It's interesting, as you read that text, that all of a sudden the rich man, who doesn't appear to be spiritual, who doesn't have any inkling about God or care about God, all he cares about, it seems, as we read that story, and what we know about that story, is his riches and material things. It's all of a sudden when he is in torment after death that he becomes evangelistic. It is when he is trying to realize his situation and trying to get out of the situation, they realize that he needed to do something different. Unfortunately, he could go no place. It was a permanent place. And so he cries out to Abraham and asks Abraham, "Will you send somebody from the dead to my five brothers?" And Abraham says that they have the law and the law of Moses. They have the prophets and the law of Moses. That if they do not listen to them, they will not listen to someone who comes from the grave. Jesus is reminding us in his story that if we do not listen to the Bible, if we do not listen to his words, then we will not listen to someone who caused a great miracle as coming from the dead. We must remember, as his story is untold, that what Jesus is reminding us is that no matter where our loved ones are, that passed from this earth, no matter where they may be, they want you and I to do what's right. They want you and I to be able to live and be able to have the blessings of heaven. If our loved ones have died and they are facing torment, it's a thought we don't like to think about. But if that is the case, they want us to do what's right in the sight of God. They want us to live faithfully unto God and not come where they are. And if our loved ones have died and they are in the place of paradise, as we see here with Lazarus, they too want us to do what's right. They want us to do what, following the scriptures and continue on the narrow way. See, our loved ones want us to be right with God no matter where they are. There is a call from beneath for evangelism. There is a call from the dead, we might say, that wants you and I to be evangelistic and rescue those with the saving message of Jesus Christ and guide people and teach people the ways of truth. See, there is a cry from the eternal lost as well as the eternal blessed to be able to motivate us to evangelize those who are living. Because once we have died, we have made our choice. But number three, the call from without. As we see in Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 10, we see that Paul has what we sometimes call the Macedonian call. A vision appeared to Paul at night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul has this vision. He has this vision of this man calling him to come to Macedonia. Some scholars believe that this is a turning point, one of the major turning points in world history, because from this point on, Christianity moves towards the West. Paul answered that Macedonia call. He went there where there were those who were receptive, those who were asking, those who were begging for the gospel message. As I think about this text, this is one of the main reasons I preach. See, I believe there are people in our world who are wanting to hear the gospel message. I realize with our secular world and the difficulties that we face that there are many challenges trying to teach those who are lost about salvation. But I do believe, as this man from Macedonia in Paul's vision, that there are those who are wanting us to teach the gospel message. And that's one reason I preach. Because there are people who want to know the gospel. A good question to ask is, who was our man of Macedonia? Who is it that is wanting to hear the gospel message? Oh, they may not always raise their hand. They may not always let us know that they're there. And that is why we need to teach as we go. That's why we need to be a good example. That's why we need to take the fervor and the zeal of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life every day and look for an opportunity to share with our friends and family that's around us, because someone is waiting. You know, sometimes it is situations when there is a tragedy, unfortunately, in one's life. It's often when one's confronted with death or sickness or financial distress that they begin questioning and asking questions of a spiritual nature. It is then that we need to see those opportunities, that they are calling out to us in a sense that the man from Macedonia was calling to Paul. Recent studies also have found that 1/4 of all people who do not go to church say they would go to church, but no one has invited them. See, there are people that are waiting to be invited. There are people that are waiting to hear something from the Word of God, and that might be from you. See, the greatest help that we can bring to anyone's life is the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm afraid that oftentimes we have developed an attitude like I came across in a story of two men. Two men were talking about one time about these spiritual things. And the one man said, "I don't like to refer to people as lost." The second stated, "Me either. It seems like we're judging them or something." And maybe that's where we are. And yet, it's not that we are judging people. It's not that we are saying that you're going to hell. It's just what the Bible has been telling us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it reminds us all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it reminds us that the wages of sin is death. And so in reality, it's not you and I judging, but it's the reality that all of us have sinned and need that saving message of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is why Jesus came, to seek and save that which was lost in Luke 19 and verse 10. As we think about our family members and our neighbors and our friends, remember, someone brought us to Christ. Who will we bring? They did not judge us. They did not criticize us. They did not do many of the things that sometimes we're accused of doing. But it's a reminder that we saw the necessary message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how important it was, and we need to share that as they shared it with us. There are people who are needing and wanting to know about the Word of God. But number four, the constraint from within. Evangelism, as we began this morning, always begins with a burden. Begins with a burden. A burning heart for the Lord. A fire in my bones, as Jeremiah stated in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And this is really the supreme need of the church today. If there is ever to be an evangelistic program or effort, it needs to begin with a burden. Do we understand that there are lost people? Do we understand the command of God? Do we understand His doctrine? Do we understand the urgency of the gospel? We have these examples in Scripture. We have the teachings of the Bible. We have the principles and the Word of God. We have the truth. But the one thing we often lack is zeal, fervor, devotion, commitment. Sometimes we lack the fire. In order for evangelism to take place, we need the fire. We need that burning desire. We need that vision. And we need to be reminded that evangelism is just not what we tell people, unless what we tell them is totally consistent with who we are and how we're living. It is who we are that is going to make the difference. It's an attitude. It's a burden. It's that heart's desire to see lost people come to the knowledge of truth. Those who are lost that are now found, that's what motivates us. As we see in Luke chapter 15, the three parables of talking about lost things, where we see whether it was the shepherd or the woman with the lost coin or the prodigal son, we see that there is a desire for those things that were lost to be found, and there was great rejoicing when those were found. That's what I'm talking about. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 and 14, Paul says it was the fear of the Lord that they rescued men. That fervor, that burden, that reverence, that holy fear of God. Do we have that to understand that there is a burden to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ? And in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, we need to be reminded of all that God has given us. Do you realize, church, what God has given you and I? Do you realize how blessed we are? This morning I was reading an article in the news talking about Bibles in North Korea. Do you realize that the Bible is outlawed in North Korea? And that the few Bibles that are floating around, literally floating around, it's when Christian people gather them up, they hide them, they have to go out in the middle of a river or a lake, and they have worship in the middle of the lake, because that is the one and maybe only place where there is not those who are watching. And if someone comes along, they hide their Bibles. And as the article said, their Bibles were falling apart. They're water stained, but they are blessed to have them. Church, you realize how blessed we are just to have the Bible. There are many in our world who do not. God has given us so much. And we think about it's just not having a Bible, but what the Bible is teaching us about salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thinking about Jeremiah, Jeremiah wanted to quit. And that may be where the church in America is, wanting to quit. Discouraged, disappointed, depressed. And Jeremiah was there And yet he couldn't. Why? Because he had that burden in his heart. Notice again, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Jeremiah began preaching about 627 B.C. And as we see that this divine inspiration had, that he burned, had a burning desire to preach, he seemed shocked that his strong urge to preach was brewing, because as a human, he was ready to quit. As we think about Jeremiah, there's at least two parts that he teaches us, two lessons. First of all, God's word needs to be within us. And when God's word is really within us, it will also comfort and consume us. It will challenge us. And the question is, are we taking the word of God within us? Are we allowing it to speak to us as God intended? Or do we read the Bible just to get through? As we read the Bible and as we read the Great Commission, is it creating a burden, a fire, a hunger to go into all the world and reach that which was lost? When we read the Bible, do we take it in and begin to understand that there is a burden for the Word of God in reaching the lost, like Jeremiah? But number two, we should also realize why this is true. See, God's Word is just not any other book. It's not a novel or a newspaper or any other piece of literature that you may come across. The Word of God is living. It is active. It is powerful. And as we think about this Word of God, that in order for it to be used at its best, it's when it's going and not just merely being heard. How many times have we have heard in Scripture that we need not to be only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word? Remember, the Great Commission is a going gospel, not merely a hearing gospel. Some people put forth much more effort to hold it in than to share it. Jeremiah was trying to hold it in, but could not. You know what I've observed over the years? That too many Christians have become covenant containers. You know what a container is? They're like the containers you put your leftover foods in, and you put it in there and you store it away. And that's sometimes what we do with the gospel. We hear it, we put it in there, we store it away until a more convenient time. Or another thing we do, we're getting fat on Jesus. There is a lot of discussion about the obesity in America, and I guess I should talk. But as you think about our message, too many times we just hear and feed and listen to Jesus and never exercise that word. Sunday after Sunday, we listen and listen and we learn and we learn and we never put it into practice. Jeremiah could not do that. He tried to keep it in the container. He tried to just to get fat on the Word of God, but he had said it burned like fire in his bones. He had to share the message. Jeremiah would have understood what Peter words were in Acts 4 and verse 20 when Peter said, "We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." What about us? Notice Peter's attitude as well is an attitude that we should have. See, if evangelism is going to work, if evangelism is to make a difference, there needs to be a burden. What we have seen and what we have heard, we cannot stop telling and talking about. See, if we have benefited from the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need and should be willing to share it with others. See, the Macedonians felt so indebted to the Jerusalem Christians that they received the gospel. They sent generous help to them. Romans 15, 25 through 27. If we have been blessed with the gospel, if we have been blessed by its message, if we understand Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, and we understand the plan of salvation, how to receive that salvation, why wouldn't we want to share it with others? Notice in the first century church, with the leadership of the 12 apostles and so many others who were converted, the church grew daily. They had a burden, so they taught. Day in and day out, they taught. And guess what was the result? Daily teaching meant daily obedience to the gospel, and the church grew. See, the growth of the congregation must first begin in the hearts and the lives of each member. There's a story told of an ungodly man who was trying to convince a Christian that his religion was of no use and that he never would be able to be any better for it. After all, said the scoffer, what has Jesus ever done for you? The man quickly put, the Christian man began to put some leaves and twigs in a circle, and he lit it on fire, and within that circle he put a worm. And as that worm was distressed and struggling because of the heat of the fire, the man reached down his arm and rescued that worm. He had an object lesson for that ungodly man. He said, that worm was me. I was lost, but now I was found. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he has died for my sins and rescued me from the flames of hell. He made his point, because that is exactly what Jesus has done for each of us. As we conclude this morning, may we remember that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And may we wise, and may we understand how noble and true and how urgent the message is. May we remember that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Some years back, as you would travel through, I'm told, I-10 in Louisiana, there was a large billboard which caught your eye. On that billboard stood high up there a picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And the caption underneath it said in bold letters, it's your move. The point was that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. He died for our salvation. Now, how will you respond? Will you respond like those did on the day of Pentecost when they heard that message and repented and were baptized for remission of sins in the name of Jesus? Will you do that? And then the other point is that because Jesus has done that and saved us, will you not tell someone about that good news? It's your move. It's your turn. What will you do with today's lesson? If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing.